To look at it one way, the removal of the gray wolf or timber wolf from the endangered species list is a success story. The wolf, which for years was eradicated from Wisconsin, now ranges over many northern Wisconsin woodlands. For some, though, the wolf's comeback is too much of a success story, with rural Wisconsinites fearing for the safety of their livestock, their pets, and themselves. Wisconsin's first wolf hunting and trapping in 6 years takes place next week, a hastily arranged harvest forced by a court order. We'll talk about the hunt, wolf management in general, and why the animal causes such strong feelings among Wisconsinites today on a special joint version of Route 51 and the West Side. Glad to be with you today. I'm Dean Kallenbeck. I'm the regular host of Western Wisconsin's issues-based talk program, The West Side, and for this special topic, we're adding our weekly Central Wisconsin audience of Route 51. For Route 51 fans, don't worry, Shereen Seward will be back next week. Coming up, we'll hear from a board member with a group, Wisconsin Wolf Facts, who supports having a wolf harvest this winter. We'll also hear from a representative of the group Wisconsin Green Fire, which has opposed a hunt this winter, and also from a biologist with the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission. First, though, I'm pleased to bring in my colleague, Wisconsin Public Radio reporter Danielle Kading, who's been covering the twists and turns that this story has had the past few weeks. Danny, good to have you here.
Hi, Dean. Thanks for having me.
So set the stage for us, if you will. Wolves have been a hot topic for a while in Wisconsin, but the most recent episodes were triggered last fall when the Trump administration announced it would delist the wolf, that is, remove it from the endangered species list. So, Danny, what happened next?
Yeah, well, it's been kind of a roller coaster as far as the wolf hunt is concerned in Wisconsin. After the Trump administration moved to delist the wolf last fall, those protections for the animal were officially removed across much of the country last month. The DNR decided in December that they were going to hold off on resuming a wolf hunt until November of this year, because the agency argued more time was needed to develop a science-based quota and also update its management plan and gather input from tribes and the public. But that decision drew backlash from hunters and Republican lawmakers. And they held a hearing in January in which they took aim at the agency for not following the law, because in Wisconsin, the DNR is required to hold a hunt essentially from mid-October through February when the wolf isn't listed as an endangered species. So lawmakers asked the Natural Resources Board in January to hold a special meeting, and the Natural Resources Board, for those who don't know, is the DNR's Citizens Advisory Board. And they asked them to direct the agency to immediately resume the hunt this winter, but the board narrowly rejected that request from Republicans. That prompted a lawsuit in February from a conservative advocacy group on behalf of the Kansas-based group Hunter Nation. They asked a Jefferson County judge to rule that the hunt should immediately resume this month, and the court did side with the hunting organization last week. So that meant that the Natural Resources Board met again this week and set a harvest of 200 wolves for the last week of February based on the DNR's recommendation, which that agency is still appealing the judge's order and seeking to put that decision on hold and prevent the hunt from taking place next week.
Now, the Trump administration had tipped its hand back in October that it was going to delist the wolf in January. So with that much notice, why did the Natural Resources Board originally decide to wait until next fall to open a wolf hunt?
Yeah, so when they held that special meeting, some board members were interested in holding the hunt, but they held off after several tribes spoke and said that the DNR hadn't fulfilled their obligations to consult with them on wolf management as part of their federal treaty rights. There was concerns about a legal challenge or not abiding by a federal court ruling known as the Voight decision that basically says the state must meet that obligation with the tribes.
We'd planned on having Luke Hilgeman from the group Hunter Nation on with us today, but he had a last-minute conflict, wasn't able to join the show. So, Danny, can you summarize the case Hunter Nation made in court as to why a harvest should happen this winter?
Sure. Yeah. So Hunter Nation essentially is arguing that hunters have a statutory right to hunt and trap wolves when the animal is not under federal protection. They've highlighted that President Joe Biden's administration is reviewing decisions made by the Trump administration to see if they're in line with an executive order that Biden issued back in January that essentially seeks to undo a bunch of environmental rollbacks. That includes the Wolf's delisting. So basically, in other words, they're worried that this could be their only opportunity to hunt wolves in Wisconsin if the Biden administration moves to restore protections for the species.
So as you mentioned earlier this week, the Natural Resources Board, responding to the judge's ruling, set a season for the last week of February. That's next Monday through the following Sunday, the 22nd through the 28th, with a quota of 200 wolves. How did they come up with that number, and why is the hunt only a week long?
So the DNR and the board considered the state's most recent wolf count, their wolf management plan, and public response from the three wolf hunting and trapping seasons that were held in Wisconsin in the past as part of putting this quota together. Some board members thought it was a bit conservative, but DNR staff said when they considered other factors and the relatively small size of the population compared to other harvested species in the state, that it was probably the best target for this first wolf hunt. And the hunt would only be the last week in February, since state law says that a single season should be held in the fall through February. So that time frame is drawing to a close.
So with that short turnaround time between the decision by the court to say, hey, you've got to have this hunt in February, and the fact that that decision actually came in February, what steps did they miss?
Well, the input from tribes and the public on the harvest quota was pretty short, since they basically threw it together over a weekend. You know, the DNR says they're pretty confident in the quota that they've come up with, but it didn't leave very much time for people to respond and get stuff together.
So anybody who's done any hunting in the past knows that there's generally something of a waiting time between, you know, the time you get in, especially if it's a lottery type of hunt. This process was, again, turned around in a hurry. Can you describe the permitting process for us?
Sure. So hunters can apply for a wolf tag now through Saturday. Drawing of winners will be held on Monday, and those hunters can begin harvesting wolves as soon as they've purchased a license and have their tag. Up to 4,000 permits may be issued so that they can meet that harvest quota of 200 wolves by the end of February. And the cost to apply is $10, and a license to hunt wolves, I believe, is $49.
On top of the 10.
Right.
Yeah. Danny, thanks for the update. One thing more. The DNR is appealing the ruling forcing the wolf season, even as it's preparing to have a wolf season. Any reason to believe that action will be taken in time to stop the hunt that's set to begin on Monday?
It's certainly possible. The DNR did request an expedited ruling on their request to put the judge's order on hold, but I haven't seen anything yet from the appeals court, and I guess we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
Danielle Kading reports on outdoors and environmental issues for Wisconsin Public Radio, and she'll continue to follow this story as it continues to develop. Danny, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Dean.
We'll spend the rest of the hour hearing from proponents and opponents of next week's wolf harvest, and we'll be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to join the program, dial 800-228-5615. Now, for those of you listening in central Wisconsin, that's a different number than you usually use for Route 51. It's 800-228-5615. If you'd prefer, you can email your questions, comments, or thoughts to ideas@wpr.org. That's ideas@wpr.org. I'm Dean Kallenbach. You're listening to a special joint broadcast of Route 51 and the West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're back on this special joint broadcast of our regional talk shows, Route 51 and the West Side, with our focus today being wolf management. I mentioned earlier that we had planned to have Luke Hilgeman from the group Hunter Nation on the show, but he let us know yesterday he had a conflict and he couldn't get around. So that said, I'm very pleased to have the guest we do have on to talk about wolves in Wisconsin for the remainder of the hour. Lori Groskopf of Tomahawk is a board member of the organization Wisconsin Wolf Facts and a member of a variety of statewide hunting and farming groups. Lori Groskopf, glad you could be with us today.
I'm so glad you invited me.
Peter David is a wildlife biologist with the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission, which represents 11 Ojibwe tribes in Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Michigan that reserved hunting, fishing, and gathering rights under treaties in the mid-1800s that includes much of northern Wisconsin. Peter David, thank you for joining us.
It is a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Adrian Wydevin is a former wolf researcher for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. He now serves as co-chair of the Wildlife Working Group of the Rhinelander-based organization, Wisconsin Green Fire. Adrian Wydevin, welcome to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Thanks for having me, Dean.
So once again, we welcome your thoughts, comments, and questions on this topic. And you can join in by calling 800-228-5615. That's 800-228-5615. Or you can email ideas@wpr.org. That's ideas@wpr.org. So before we go to calls and emails, I do want to give each of our guests a chance to share their opinions about the one-week wolf harvest, which is set to begin Monday after being ordered by the court. And Lori Groskopf, let's start with you. I understand you were pleased with the Jefferson County Circuit Court's decision to agree with the group Hunter Nation that Wisconsin should hold a wolf hunt this winter, since the gray wolf was removed from the endangered species list. Talk about why you think that was the right decision.
Well, where we're coming from is the wolves have been unmanaged basically for their entire existence in Wisconsin. And because of that, their numbers have grown to tremendous numbers. Actually, we're the second highest population wolf for wolves in the whole country, Minnesota being the only one ahead of us. And in the other states where recovery has occurred, there's a lot more vacant territory. Wisconsin is the most heavily populated state as well. So this has become a problem. My goals for this program are responsible wolf management to increase tolerance in the wolf areas from people living around the wolves, and also to decrease the conflict situations that we're seeing. And there was a record number of those for the last 6 years, of over 100 incidents on the official list. Of course, there's a lot more than that that aren't documented. So there's really only one way to do that, and that's to accomplish a harvest. And I feel it's unfortunate that we've gotten to that, but this complete lack of control over a period of 35 years has led to that. And now we need to do something to reduce the numbers. There's a lot of organization, and half the counties in Wisconsin have passed resolutions to that effect.
You were featured in an in-depth report WPR's Rich Kramer did on wolves in Wisconsin just over a year ago. And during that time, you shared the story about you yourself losing two hunting dogs to wolf attacks. Can you talk about that situation in particular, but also how wolves are impacting your life in general?
Well, the wolves in my neighborhood have been a very frequent visitors to our properties. People and the neighbors have seen them in back of their house, tracks around the house. We've already had two incidents, one 5 miles west of me and one 5 miles east of me, where people were confronted with wolves at very close range. These were both pet dog incidents. And then the agricultural community is really suffering from this. It may not be the total agricultural community for Wisconsin, but for those very rural farmers, especially the grass-fed beef operations and small sheep operations, there's just been a tremendous amount of life-changing damage. So for me, it means every time I go outside, every time I look outside, I have to think, what if there's a wolf that's close by and how am I going to react to that? And as a wolf tracker in for probably the last 7 years, maybe it's 8 years, I'm losing track. I'm very aware of the presence of wolves, but even my neighbors are seeing them and seeing tracks.
That's the voice of Lori Groskopf. We're talking about wolf management here on the West Side and Route 51. 800-228-5615 is the number to join the conversation, 800-228-5615, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Adrian Weideman, let's move to you. You're a wildlife biologist who has specialized in wolves for your career, most of which you spent with the Department of Natural Resources. The organization you're now representing, Wisconsin Greenfire, agreed with the Natural Resources Board in December when it decided to wait until next winter to start a hunt, the decision that was eventually overturned by the Hunter Nation lawsuit. So why is Greenfire taking that position?
We have concerns about starting the harvest at this time of the year. We haven't had the time to do the thorough scientific analysis for the developing quotas. There hasn't been the opportunity to meet with the tribes or for general public input on these quotas. And we're dealing with a high level of uncertainty. We've never harvested wolves in the middle of their breeding season in February. We're using methods that probably we wouldn't be using early in the fall with a lot of use of hounds. You're dealing with a population that's already been reduced over the fall. So it's not the same population you would be harvesting from in a fall harvest, because we do lose up to 10% of our population each year from illegal kill and another 15% from other causes of mortality. So, and that's going on throughout the fall period, and especially during when there are hunting periods that there's a high level of illegal killing. So we've got a lower wolf population on the landscape. We've got methods of harvesting that we're not normally doing, and we're dealing with the population in the middle of the breeding season, some females that will already been bred, that there will not be opportunities to replace breeding animals when they're removed from packs, as there would be if they were harvested early in the fall. So getting a starting a harvest this time of year has a high level of uncertainty and a lot of risk to the wolf population and for packs within the state.
Now, your old boss, when you were with the DNR, former DNR Secretary George Meyer, who is now executive director of the group Wisconsin Wildlife Federation, criticized the Natural Resources Board for its decision to hold off a harvest until November of this year. In his words, the department knew for a year that the gray wolf was going to be delisted and should have had in place all the regulatory elements for a wolf hunt in January and February of this year. So, Adrian Weideman, I'll ask you, was the DNR negligent in its lack of preparedness for this delisting?
Well, the DNR certainly could have done more work on developing a new wolf plan and updating the existing plan, because the existing plan for the DNR is now 22 years old. I was the chair of developing that plan in 1999. But at the same time, trying to establish a public harvest when there's a high level of uncertainty whether the delisting was going to occur, it theoretically should have happened as early as March of 2020, and it didn't happen until much later. And so for a long time period, the Fish and Wildlife Services is still trying to decide whether they're going to go ahead with a delisting of wolves. Starting all the details of how a wolf harvest was going to occur in Wisconsin probably wasn't going to be helpful for Fish and Wildlife Service for going ahead with their delisting. So pushing ahead with something like a harvest before kind of the counting your chickens before they hatch sort of issue, it didn't make a lot of sense.
800-228-5615 is the number to call, 800-228-5615 to join the conversation, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. I want to shift now to Peter David. You're employed by the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission as a wildlife biologist, and your organization and the 11 Ojibwa tribes the commission represents has opposed wolf hunting as a general rule. Talk about the origin of that position, if you will.
Yeah, I think there's two primary things behind that. Some of it is ecological, and a lot of it lines up with the kinds of things that Adrian just talked about, the ecological benefits of having wolves on the landscape. And that's taken very seriously. The tribes really see Mayangan or the wolf as being very helpful in actually maintaining the health in the deer herd. And particularly with things like chronic wasting disease on the landscape, you know, that's looming larger and larger all the time. There's reason to think that actually their presence helps maintain the viability of certain medicinal plants that are important to tribal members as well. And there's some modeling studies that have looked at the potential benefits with things like Lyme disease that get through really complicated trophic cascades. So there's those ecological things, but it's also no secret that a great deal of the tribe's opposition to recreational harvest of wolves goes to cultural concerns. And in what will be a totally inadequate telling of this, Mangan plays a critical role in the Ojibwe creation story. And in that telling, all of the other parts of creation are created before the original man was put here on Earth. And it had to be that way because of the dependency of that man on the other parts of creation. But when that individual was lonely and spoke to the creator about it, the creator responded by providing Mangan actually as a partner to walk and talk and play with. Later on, the creator indicated each of those had to go their own way, but also that their fates would be intertwined and what would happen to one of them would happen to the other. And actually, you can find all sorts of examples in history where there have been very parallel paths, I think, for wolves and for tribal people in the state. So it's a combination of, I think, of both these ecological and cultural concerns.
You are a scientist. How do you balance this, the management of wolf populations in Wisconsin based on science as opposed to the cultural beliefs of the tribes that you just described?
Well, it's an interesting question because I think people outside the tribal community can kind of sort of poo-poo sometimes these cultural-based concerns. And yet I grew up myself, you know, in a different worldview. I'm not a tribal member. I grew up in sort of the biblical worldview. And that's a very different one that, you know, promotes humans as being the most important, not the least important, and of having dominion over other things. And that's a cultural view actually that drives, I think, very much a lot of the animosity we see in the non-Indian community oftentimes. And so people are sometimes less aware of the things inherent in their own cultural perspectives than they are when they look at someone else's.
Representatives of the Red Cliff, Menominee, Lacouture, Bad River, and Lac des Flambeaux tribes urged the board not to hold a wolf hunt this winter at a hearing last month. Several referenced the 1983 court ruling known as the Voight decision. Daniel Kading referenced it earlier. And that's the decision, of course, that affirms tribal rights to hunt, fish, and gather the ceded territory under treaties with the federal government signed in the mid-1800s. Under the ruling, the state must consult with tribes on natural resource management. Did that consultation happen with the season that was announced this week?
No, it hasn't really. And I would reiterate, I think, Adrian's comment, there's been a lot of this discussion of why the state should have been way prepared for all of this unfolding the way it did. That really wasn't the case. The feds did propose to delist wolves, but there is a tremendous amount of public opposition and scientific opposition. And so it really wasn't clear what the Fish and Wildlife Service was ultimately going to do until that rule was published. And I agree, it wouldn't really made a lot of sense to prepare for a what-if scenario. The Natural Resources Board, I think, really did the right thing originally, putting the brakes on this, trying to stop this. It's unfortunate to have, you know, in hunter lingo, to kind of go off half-cocked here. It'd be bad enough to rush a season like this through under sort of normal circumstances, maybe if you were having a season even every year. But it's been 6 years since Wisconsin's had a wolf season, and there is a lot of work that needs to be done to prepare properly for that to happen. And so the tribes were pleased that the board initially did the right thing and tried to recognize the need to comply with the federal law. You know, that the treaty cases are supposed to be the law of the land. And yet it seems again that the tribes have to fight over and over again to be recognized for the rights that they've always held here.
That's the voice of Peter David, wildlife biologist with the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission. Also joining us today to talk about wolf management and the one-week wolf harvesting season announced this week that takes place next week are Lori Groskopf, a board member of the group Wisconsin Wolf Facts, and Adrian Wideven, a former DNR wolf biologist now working with Wisconsin Green Fire. You can join the conversation by email at ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org, or by calling 800-228-5615, 800-228-5615. Let's move to the email box. We've got a few folks who have written in. Paul writes, what will be the impact of hundreds of people buying both the lottery ticket and, if won, not using the permit to kill a wolf as they are now doing? And he follows up with, what is the impact of the tribe's ability to claim 50% of all wolf permits in ceded territory? Peter David, let me go to you. Is that your understanding, that the tribes would have the right to claim half of the wolf permits?
This is a complicated issue, but it's generally been recognized that the tribes have the right to claim half of the biological harvest from the ceded territory. But I would want to go really beyond that. Sort of, that's a fairly simple surface statement. The tribes' rights are really use rights, and the tribes' interest in using wolves is not to harvest them, but to gain the other benefits that they provide. So there is this methodology that for deer and for other things, for example, that are harvested, the tribes can claim up to half of the biological harvest from an area. But we've also never come to agreement with the state on what the goal for Myangan should be. And that obviously underpins anything like a decision about setting a quota. So there's a great deal of work here and consultation that needs to take place.
Lori Grosskopf, that brings up the possibility, though, that for a $10 application fee, you might get people who don't want to see a wolf hunt who would apply for the permits. If they get selected, they would just let it go to prevent, to try to reduce the number of wolves harvested. Is that a concern of yours?
Well, the impact of that is going to be minimal. I just want to point out that in 2013, when we had the highest harvest that we were allowed, we finished the season in record time, and in 2014, even faster. And that was the season when we had about 1,500 permits out there, and 4 out of the 6 zones closed within a week. And that was when the population was at a lower point. So I think, you know, the number of permits is going to be adequate to the job. The problem is that the DNR neglected and refused to allow the tribes and the citizens to have input into this program since 2014. They refused to let our advisory committee meet. They refused to involve the public. And everything was, all the decisions were made behind closed doors. So this delisting, which in addition is similar, in fact, almost identical to one done during the Obama administration that was cut down by the federal court and not implemented, It's just a case of not involving anybody in the decisions, and the DNR really kind of liking the way it's going, that there's really a lack of management and a free-for-all out here. We need to get control over the program, and hunting is one way of doing that.
Let's move to the phones now as we talk about wolf management here on a blended program of Route 51, our Western Wisconsin-based Issues talk show. Or our Central Wisconsin Issues-Based Talk Show, and the West Side, our West Central Wisconsin Issues-Based Talk Show. I'm Dean Kallenbach, and let's bring on, I believe it's Mike from Vilas County. Mike, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Great show. You know, I'm excited to hear everything that they have to say, but I live in Vilas County, and, you know, there's been so many deer killed where I live, just south of Boulder Junction, and we had over 700 deer picked up off of state and county highways and a few drivers that picked them up. You know, I haven't been seeing a lot of wolf sign. I know they're there, and I support a wolf hunt. But, you know, the way they did the wolf hunt the first time, it seemed so political, and that's why they ended up on back in the endangered species list, where if they would just let the biologists run the hunts without all this political interference, I think we'd have a sustainable hunt every year. And I just, you know, I'd like to see what they're saying about, you know, forest regeneration in my area has been so terribly over-browsed by deer that, I mean, removing, you know, 200 wolves at this time of the year, I think it's going to have a bigger impact. And I'm worried about them going back on the endangered species list, which I don't think, you know, I don't think that's the right way to do it. I mean, I used to hunt down there in Lincoln County near where that Lori gal's from, you know, by the Cranberry Boulevard area. And the wolves down there never seemed to impact. We had the best deer hunting we ever had when the wolf population was high, as far as good-sized bucks. I just, you know, I just like to see what the biologists have to say about that, because, I mean, there's just too many deer around here, and the wolves obviously aren't having an impact on the deer population.
Mike, thanks for your call. Let's go around to our guests to hear what they have to say about that. Adrian Whiteven, why don't you start out?
Sure. And that this is an issue of concern, that we've got more issues with too many deer in Wisconsin than not enough deer. The harvest across northern Wisconsin are on the increase with this record wolf population. So we're not seeing a detrimental effect on the deer population from the wolf population. And throwing in a harvest at this time is really not going to do much as far as increasing the number of deer in the landscape. It's going to mess things up for some wolf packs. So we are continuing to have problems with overbrowsing by deer in many places, and that is a big concern. Wolves can add to the benefits of to the ecosystem, and removing a bunch of wolves in the middle of winter time really isn't going to do anything that either benefits the deer herd or benefits the ecosystem.
Lori Grosskopf, Mike referenced politics being a part of that, and it certainly is. The Republican legislature pushed hard for the hunt to begin. We've seen the Obama administration list the wolves. We've seen the Trump administration delist the wolves. Now the Biden administration is looking at that decision. How important is politics to this, and how much should it be a part of this process?
I personally don't feel politics plays a role at all. As I just said, the Obama administration tried to delist the wolves, which has been repeated by Trump. So both administrations attempted to delist the wolves. It wasn't the fact that the Obama administration relisted them. It was court challenges did that,
and I
by the
correct.
Humane Society of the United States and others. And, you know, part of the problem is making this into a political thing is detracting from the facts. And the facts are we have a record number of conflicts noted from last year. And we have a very depressed deer herd in many areas of the north. And we have a lot of farmers and pet owners that are suffering. So I invite you to go on the Wisconsin Wolf Facts website and look at a chart comparing the deer to the wolf numbers, and also view videos of people who have suffered conflicts, and understand that this is more of a rural-urban or a rural issue than a political one, in my opinion.
Our guests for the hour are Lori Grosskopf of Tomahawk. She's a board member of the group Wisconsin Wolf Facts. Also joining us, Peter David, wildlife biologist with the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission in Odanah, and Adrian Wideven, a certified wildlife biologist, co-chair of the Wildlife Working Group with Wisconsin Green Fire. What do you have to say about wolf management in Wisconsin? Has the population grown too large to be safe for livestock or pets? Or is next week's February hunt going to damage what in the past has been a fragile species in our state? Join the conversation by emailing ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org, or calling 800-228-5615, 800-228-5615. I'm Dean Kallenbach, and this is a special edition of the West Side and Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. So we're back talking wolf management on this special joint edition of Route 51 and the West Side. Our guests are Adrian Wideven, certified wildlife biologist and co-chair of the Wildlife Working Group with Wisconsin Green Fire; Peter David, wildlife biologist with the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission in Odanah; and Lori Grosskopf of Tomahawk, board member of Wisconsin Wolf Facts. Let's go back to the phones now. Let's talk to Vern in Boyd. Vern, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, hi. Yeah, good morning, Dean. So like I say, back in the late 60s, they used to have a $10 bounty, I think it was, on wolves. But in my opinion, the farmers having trouble with the wolves should be allowed to shoot them, no matter what time of the year it is. And some of these wolves are crossbreeding with German shepherds. So they run in dog packs. We had one out here, it's probably 35 years ago. It's gone now. But like I say, these trees from the 1800s, I don't know if some of them are relevant anymore. But if the Indians want to hunt the wolves, let them go to where the wolves are. Like this woman, she's got to go outside. I'd be carrying a 45 caliber pistol with me in a holster, because you don't know what these wolves are going to do to you.
All right. Thank you, Vern. Few issues there, but let's talk about the bounty and the ability, for instance, for farmers. Should farmers have the ability to shoot a wolf if it sees that there's predation happening, or if that person fears predation happening near livestock. Adrian Weideman, let's start with you on that point.
Wows is that farmers can shoot wolves in the act of attacking their livestock on their property, and they can also obtain permits on their property to shoot wolves coming on their land if they had a history of problems. So, yeah, that's the thing. That's the tool that is provided to farmers with delisting, along with federal trappers that will be available to remove the problem wolves. So this is especially why we want to keep delisting in place. Letting politicians run these harvests is what's really hurting Wisconsin right now. And I think politics is what's really hurting the whole management of the Wisconsin wolf program, that we have a wolf harvest right now that's required by the DNR if they're not listed, instead of allowed by the DNR. And the whole thing is overly managed by politicians with very limited input by wildlife professionals. We need to get back to a system that allows the wildlife professionals, the scientists, to, and the public, to have an input on how wolf management and wolf harvest should be done. But yeah, certainly farmers do have that opportunity now once they are delisted.
Lori Grosskopf, you and Adrian Weideman aren't agreeing on a lot of things today, but you both said that politics is too involved. As you see it, what has to happen in order for farmers to be comfortable with their livestock safety, in order for you to be comfortable with the safety of your hunting dogs?
Well, there's two things. One is the response from wildlife services and the ability to take care of problems yourself if you're a farmer. That is a very important component that can increase tolerance from people for the program and also reduce problems. The other thing, and there's no more plain way to put it, is we have to get these numbers down to a reasonable level. What's reasonable? Well, in Montana, which is three times as big as Wisconsin, and Idaho, which is also bigger than Wisconsin, they have 1,000 wolves in each of those states, according to their estimates. We have more than that in Wisconsin. In Wyoming, there's less than 350. And that state is a third bigger than Wisconsin with 1/10 the population. So we've just got too dense of a population for the number of wolves we've got. And that's the plain and honest truth, no politics involved.
I got an email from Colette in Eagle River. She says, wouldn't it be an effective strategy for anti-hunt groups to organize and buy up permits as a grassroots way to stop the hunt? And we talked about that a little bit, but she said she'd like to hear more about this strategy from all the guests, not just Lori Grosskopf. So, Peter David, let me move it to you. What do you think of that idea? Is that something that you would support, or is that kind of messing with the system?
I don't think, actually here, I think I'll agree with Lori. I don't think it's going to be a particularly effective strategy. I think it does have some benefits in almost a social way, in that many people are frustrated to see this hunt go forward. They've been really have no way to effectively change the course of this, even though the public comments on things like holding this hunt have been strongly in supportive of wolves. And so I think it gives people some sense of having some way of trying to make a positive contribution, but how effective it will be, it's hard to say, but my best guess is it won't be extremely effective.
Joe in Eastern Vilas County writes to say, there has been a bloodlust toward the wolf for way too long. That likely will not change. The deer herd is out of control, and I'm much more threatened by Lyme disease and the deer browse on our forest land than by seeing a wolf occasionally. I enjoyed Mike from Vilas County, who had a common sense comment. How many people have been directly harmed by a wolf? The hysteria is crazy. Lori Grosskopf, is it hysteria?
Well, I think this is a way of minimizing the real impacts, because what is harm to people? If you look at the videos we've got up on our website, you'll soon hear that people have been traumatized by every interaction they've had with wolves in these conflict situations. It's something you never forget. It's something that changes your life and the way that you act in the outdoors. It changes your relationship with your grandchildren and your children and your pets and your farm animals. It's a very expensive and destructive feel-good thing that Wisconsin is promoting. And I think we need to get things under control. And a lot of other people are frustrated because we haven't had any controls.
Peter David, the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission, pays attention to the wolf populations in Minnesota and Michigan, as well as Wisconsin. How do those states compare in their management of the timber wolf?
Well, I think this is a good example of where politics does come into play. And I think it really is a problem here. This whole situation is unfolding in Wisconsin the way it is because the legislature demanded this this wolf legislation back in 2012. And the other two states here in the ceded territories, which extend into those states for the tribes, there isn't similar legislation. The DNR is really given the power to decide whether or not there should be a hunt. And you don't see this beating of the drum to immediately implement a season. In fact, it's not clear if either of those states will implement a season this fall or not. They're taking, I think, a careful and a measured approach. They're bringing in discussions with the tribes and with their own public and with the biologists and figuring out the right way to go forward. And it really has been the political interference here that's created this situation we're in right now in Wisconsin.
Let's bring in Steve. Steve from Eau Claire has joined us on phone. Steve, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I just wanted to comment to Ms. Groskopf that, you know, I contend that there's way more misfortune caused because of deer. I personally hit two deer with two different vehicles in 1 week. I'm still paying for it now. Also, you know, she mentioned that we haven't had any management. Well, farmers and poachers have been killing deer or have been killing wolves this whole time. You know, and I feel like her fear, like she said, she walks out the door and she's scared. And her dog's being killed. She may have a little revenge there. So maybe those things play a bias.
Lori Groskopf, you want to? He was referring to you. Want to comment?
Well, I've lived here 46 years, and I've hit one deer. So maybe it's not just a coincidence that some people hit more deer than others. And you know, I think you know, making people feel bad about the way they feel is not going to be a productive way of approaching this. But management is not management by illegal killing.
Right.
That is not management. That is illegal activity. And this is one thing I'd really like to see eliminated because the federal and state government have not taken the reins and have not controlled the situation. It's been a free-for-all. And people in Wisconsin tend to take care of their own problems if their government doesn't help them. But that is not management.
Carol in Central Wisconsin emails, what evidence do the biologists have that demonstrates there is an overpopulation problem with wolves? She suggests this isn't about facts so much as it is about the desire to hunt. And let's talk about the numbers a little bit because I think that's something we haven't gotten enough into and the show is coming to a close quickly. Great conversation, by the way. I do remember back in the mid-70s when some wolves started to show up in northwestern Wisconsin. It was the first time a timber wolf had been sighted in the state in 15 years. But things are different now, with the Department of Natural Resources estimating more than 1,100 wolves in the state. Wisconsin's original wolf hunt and management plan, which was approved in 1999, Adrian Wydevin pointed out he was a part of authoring that plan, it was updated in 2007, set a goal of 350 wolves for the state. So Adrian Wydevin, why has that population exploded? Is it simply because of the delisting? And why to the levels of more than triple that of what your management plan, what the official management plan of the DNR is?
So the 1999 management plan was based on 25-year-old data on our estimates of what the carrying capacity was for Wisconsin based on GIS analysis that was done in the mid-1990s. So we've done additional analysis on that, and it suggests that potential biological carrying capacity is quite a bit higher than what we had earlier estimated. So the 350 was intended to be a goal set to achieve a population achievement. We had less than 200 wolves in Wisconsin, and that was at a time we thought our carrying capacity was about 500 wolves. Our most recent estimates indicate the carrying capacity is closer to about 1,250 wolves. So we're approaching that natural carrying capacity of the population. And as to exploding population, it's been a steady growth of the population, but actually, out of the last 4 years, it was relatively stable for all but this last year. So it looks like the population is starting to stabilize and we're approaching that carrying capacity. So based on new concepts of carrying capacity, the 350 management goal is no longer an appropriate or reasonable number. As with deer, we're not trying to manage deer herds at estimates of what their carrying capacity should have been 25 years ago. We're not managing our bear population at 1,100, the management goal for bears 25 years ago. So all of these other species, we've updated our management plans to consider what's the animals that are existing on the landscape currently.
I want to get one more call in. This is John from Adams County. John, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate the chance to speak. I'd like to take issue with a couple of statements that were made previously in the program. One in regard to the relevance of the tribes and their treaties. I don't think relevance is quite a proper term to use for something that's been reaffirmed in the court system as recently as the last 30 years as relates to the walleye wars. The second item is in regard to the statement that the lady made in regard to human interaction with the wolf population. The wolf is an apex predator, and as such, it holds a position at the same level as a human being. We need to realize that, and we need to realign our thinking in regard to our position in that mountain that makes up the predatory precipice, if you will. So, again, I appreciate the chance to speak, and I hope all have a good day, and I hope that we can reach an amicable settlement to this issue. Thank you.
Thank you, John. And another email, and this one is from Tanya. Tanya says, thank you for considering my input. I'm a hunter and with guide and outfitting experience and decades of experience in the woods and have seen and been in the presence of the wolf many times. Respecting boundaries and a higher code of standards is needed. I'm not in support of the wolf hunt, however, knowing what I've seen. I am in support of setting some steps that would be a start to higher ethical standards. And she does talk about some ideas, and unfortunately we don't have time to get into the detail of those now. But I do want to talk about what's coming up in the next few days. We are looking at... we're looking at a hunt that starts on Monday, unless the courts do something differently about it. Hunters can now apply for a wolf tag through February, through tomorrow. The drawing of winners will be held on February 22nd, and those hunters can begin harvesting wolves as soon as they've purchased a license. Cost to apply is $10. A license to hunt wolves will cost $49. Up to 4,000 permits may be issued to meet the harvest quota by the end of February. Adrian Wydevin, do you think 4,000 hunters and trappers can find 200 wolves in 7 days?
I think we're dealing with such a high level of uncertainty whether they're going to achieve that or not. I don't know. We're dealing with different hunting methods, a different time of the year. With 4,000 hunters and for 200 wolves, we still have 16 hunters after each wolf pack in Wisconsin. So potentially that could have some impact. Whether in that short period of time they can harvest all those wolves, I don't know. There's a high level of uncertainty here.
And certified wildlife biologist and co-chair of the Wildlife Working Group with Wisconsin Greenfire. That was Adrian Wydevin. Thank you to our guests today. Peter David, also wildlife biologist with the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission. Lori Grosskopf of Tomahawk, board member of Wisconsin Wolf Facts. And earlier in the hour, Danielle Kading, WPR's environmental and nature reporter. Joy Ratch-Kramer produced today's show. Catherine Thomas was our on-air producer. Rick Ryer engineered the production. Kate Spranger and Tommy McGowan manage publicity and web archives. Remember, we're in our fall membership drive. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Dean Kallenbach, been listening to The West Side and Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio.